Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for February 4th, 2024. Allie Wick, are you ready to go?
Let's do it. I'm walking home, so my audio might be a little weird, but yeah, absolutely.
But you can hear me fine, right?
I can hear you great. Yeah.
I can hear you great too. Okay. All right. So Allie coaches actors on their self-tapes. But this is actually a question about a job that she's applying for at a small, popular, artsy startup company. And she's a cash flow kitten. And so I'm really glad that the tips that I shared and the resources helped you out on the first interview. So she had this first interview for this one position, which was a front of house kind of receptionist type of interfacing with the public position. And she got far in the interviews, and then they went some. With someone else, and then a second interview for a different position. This one's a remote position. And so the question is, I had a good interview. I discussed my skills and strengths. How do I re-interview for this slightly different position without necessarily retreading the same stuff or bringing, how do I bring something new to the conversation? And then you have several other questions, but let's just start sort of with that one. So, what do they want? What do you know that they want from the person in this position that might be different from the other position?
Yeah, so I can even just pull up the job posting now, but what might be different?
Like, in terms of qualities of, like, I would assume in any remote position, it's much more important for a person to be a self-starter, able to manage, have project management and time management.
Yes, I
Because
think that's probably true.
because it's a less reactive. When you're manning a desk, answering phones, talking to the public, you are kind of keeping the flow, but in a reaction to whatever the flow is. When you're working from home, it's very much like I'm pacing this myself and I'm trying
Right.
deadlines and things like that. So that was one difference. And so, how are you at things like time management, project management, hitting deadlines without supervision, like that kind of stuff?
I wait, sorry, am I okay? Yeah, I'm muted. Yeah, I'd say that I feel that I am competent at all of those things. But I haven't had such a position before. I mean, I have some experience with some sort of similar types of things. Sorry, hold on a second. Sorry. Was just my hallway, which is very echoey. But I guess I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't have so much stuff that I could directly say, okay, here's an example of me being good with project management. Here's an example of me being good on my own, at least from the kind of jobs that I've had in the past. I definitely do a lot of things on my own. I have my little coaching side hustle, and I think just as an actor in general, you're always kind of juggling your business and that sort of thing. One of the things that I talked about in my interviews for the original position was as an actor and also having directed some of my own theater projects, I definitely am adept at sort of juggling a whole bunch of different things and, improvising when things don't go according to plan and sort of keeping the ball rolling. So I don't know, as I'm talking about it, that's something that sort of comes up. That
But
is
see how,
something that we talked about in the initial interview process as well for the other position.
so what you do now is you go back with your same history. You're like, and you don't have to say, like I said in the other interview, like you don't have to reference that at all. But in the last interview, you were like, yeah, so I did these directing things, and that's how I got good at improvising and juggling things and being reactive to whatever was coming up and making sure I was still getting stuff done, though I might be interrupted. That's perfect for that position. So now over here, you go, well, the way I got good, what you say is, here's what I think of this position, what you really need. And it would serve you best to have someone who manage their time well, can manage a project through to completion without necessarily supervision at every single point of the road, if necessary, to hit a deadline. These are all skills that I really developed directing. Because when you're doing a show, I mean, there's a deadline, and there's a goal to be reached. And it's not just hitting the deadline, but pacing yourself through the amount of rehearsal time that you have, and being attuned to what might need a little more focus and what, could be dialed back. And so those kinds of adjustments I'm really used to making. So
That's
you're using
so
the
good.
same thing, just saying this is how I got this set of skills. Yeah. So
Yes.
you still pull through. So what else, aside from like being a self-starter, would a person for this position, would they really need? What other qualities or skills?
Sure. Well, I guess okay. There's maybe some things that I feel like, okay, I know how that could apply to me, and maybe some things that I'm not so sure. Would you
Okay, what are
rather
you
I
talking?
start with one or the other, or should I do
Yeah, what's the not so sure stuff?
okay. Well, just that, they want someone who's pretty social media savvy. Obviously, I don't live under a rock, like I use social media, but I'm betting that they probably are going to have some people applying and who they're interviewing who have experience running social media, who have like direct experience with that. And I don't. I think they want someone who can consistently maintain the tone that they want their company to have. I definitely feel, I mean, I think even just as an actor, that's something that I can be adept at. And also just someone who's worked a lot in kind of customer facing roles. But I don't know if they're going to have concerns or expectations for, someone having worked specifically in social media and handling customer experience specifically through their social media channels. And I know, one of the things that I picked up from a coaching that one of the recorded coachings that you did was this idea of like, well, you might have some people who have done this job before or who have these exact skills, but what I have is adaptability, and you can sort of mold me exactly into the perfect version of this that you want, and I won't have those bad habits. So I feel like that's one way to go. But I think that's probably the main thing that I'm thinking. I don't necessarily, other than that I just said, I don't necessarily know the best way to address that. Like, probably some of these other people have done exactly this job before, or just have more experience in social media. Anyway, sorry, that's a lot.
Right. So the whole, no, that was fine. So the whole aspect about like, I'm really adaptable. I'm really good learning. And sometimes there's benefits with having that clean slate because then I can learn how to do it the way you want to instead of bringing. So that whole conversation, you keep that in your pocket. Bring it out in case you're like, that's for when they're like, hey, have you ever milked cows before? And you're like, you know what? I have not milk, but let me tell you that I'm really adaptable. And then you go down that road. But when you have something like, we want someone to do our social media, that is so vague. Like, what does that even mean now in 2024? So I think that's a point where you can, and you can bring it up if it's a, like a component of the job, or they'll bring it up. But even if they bring it up, like let's just say they said, so what do you think you can bring to the table in terms of like our social media? That's an impossible question to answer
Well,
without.
sorry, can I interject just a little bit? I don't think it's not that I would be running their social media in terms of content. They want someone basically managing the customer service aspect of their social media. So responding to DMs, emails, that kind of thing. I don't, as far as they say, it's not like, oh, you're going to be making content. It's more like the customer maybe responding to comments as well, that kind of thing.
So I'll answer that. But for everybody here, in the bigger picture perspective, when there's any component of something listed in a job thing like social media, and you're like, well, what do you mean? You can always ask them. So social media, it's a big thing. What are your goals in terms of social media? What are you hoping the person in my position will achieve for you with that? So you can always ask them to clarify. You don't just have to go, oh, I guess we're just talking about this in general. No. So in your case, what you do know is like you're probably not doing the content, you're probably just doing the customer interaction. You're like, the thing I'm best at is interacting, you know, being able to have a great tone, because tone is everything. A director sets the whole tone, you know, so that everyone's acting in the same play. So tone and just that kind of like warmth and sociability that you want for someone like that, I'm happy to do it. I think something they would also want to know is that you enjoy doing it, because they don't want to hire someone who's like, oh my God, I have to reply to like 100 comments and I hate people. You know, so you just be like, I like people and I'm in the people business. So yeah. So that it's great. And if you ever get stuck in this interview where they ask you a question like, well, what do you think about this? And it's like, you can always bounce it back to them and go, what are you specifically hoping this person can? And then you can say, okay, yeah. Well, what I bring, let's say they wanted you to do something that you had no like direct experience in. And they can say, well, let's just, I'm pretending here. Well, I see here that you don't have any experience in social media. What you reply to that is, well, here's what I would bring to the social media table. I would bring, you know, this and this, and I love people and other. You just start talking about your skills and strengths. You're not emphasizing it. Yeah, no, it's correct. You don't have any experience, but here's what you would bring to that table. These qualities. And then you just hope that they want somebody with all the qualities and willing to like trade that for the experience. And then you go, I have these qualities. And here's the other thing, there are benefits sometimes to having someone who comes at this with a blank slate, if they're adaptable and highly adaptable, who can really do it the way you want it to be done rather than bringing bad habits to the table. How you would answer that question. The
Great.
goal is you're always emphasizing the positive about, yes, you know, we're not going to talk that I don't have this, but here's what I do have. Here's what I do have. Here's what I can do. Here's how I think about that. Here's how this experience relates to that. And for those of you listening, like maybe you've never done a directing job, which is an example of a project, but if you've renovated anything in a house or, you know, redecorated your apartment. It's like I worked on a budget, the deadline. I did this. Like it could be something you did for your mom that was a project. Project management just means you know how to start here, identify the goals, and get yourself through everything so that you hit the deadline. That is managing a project. So, and it can be done professionally and unprofessionally, but it's still skills and it's still strengths. So, how does that feel? What else about the interview itself are you afraid you might be off kilter on?
I think that feels great. Is there anything that I'm afraid I might be off kilter on?
Or a hole in the job description where you're like, oh my God, I don't want them to ask me about that.
Not really. So there are some things that I feel like they want, you know, someone with strong organization skills, and they like part of the duties is sending an exception report on a daily basis to the supervisor, which I mean, I haven't done that before, but I'm sure I can research that before the interview. I feel like, and like Excel or Google Sheets is involved. That's not necessarily something I don't want them to ask me about, but it might be worth sort of fine-tuning my response because I don't have any real professional experience with sheets or with Excel, but I really like working with spreadsheets. I like creating and tinkering with my own, just all of the abundance bound stuff as I'm sort of creating my own, like, oh, as when I was doing my report for the Tracking Tuesdays, I spent all this time like creating the spreadsheet and, making it work really well. So that's something I really like. I sort of feel like, well, that's true, but in a way, it's just sort of like a disorganized. It's something that really interests me and that I get really involved with, but it's not like something that I've. It's just sort of something I do on my own time, and I don't always see that kind of thing through to its completion, if that makes sense. So,
Yeah, and that's
yeah.
fine. And you
Okay.
don't what you don't want to do, and I'm speaking to you and I'm speaking to like everybody. What you don't want to do is over explain things. You
Okay.
want to find concise, like you don't have to justify things in this interview. You just want to
Yeah.
put the best spin on it, the best spin on it. If they ask you a question, you don't actually have to answer that directly. You can bounce the question, another question back to them, or you can answer part of the question. Like you want to always be putting your messaging and your best
Yeah.
foot forward. So,
Right.
what is a piece of software that you've learned how to use? Anything, GarageBand, iMovie, MailChimp, anything?
Well, I mean, I would just say for this, Google Sheets, but there are other
Okay.
examples.
But what have you taught your like, is there a piece of software that you were like, well, I have to figure out how to learn this, and that and you learned how to do it?
I mean, Google Sheets is an example of that, but for
Okay.
me, but also, iMovie, Adobe Premiere, any number of things. I teach myself software all the
That's the answer to the
honestly.
question.
Okay.
And for
Yeah.
everybody listening, so if someone says, let's just say you have never opened a spreadsheet before in your life, and someone says, well, we do a lot on the, Excel spreadsheets, the answer is like, oh, I'm absolutely not intimidated by spreadsheets, and I'm really great at teaching myself how to use software. I know how to do GarageBand and iMovie and MailChimp and Button. I taught myself how to do all of that. So I'm certain I can learn whatever you need. That's it. Whatever you just said does not intimidate me. That's a great phrase. You're not saying you don't have experience, but it's just like, oh, I'm not intimidated. I'm used to teaching myself software, and I've done it this time, this time, this time, and this time. Happy to learn whatever you need. You see how kind of like
Great.
clean that is? It kind
Yes.
of just clean, not intimidated.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's fantastic.
Yeah. And good. Glad that resonates. Another question you asked is, you're like, I like this company. I've applied for these two. If I don't get this one, there might be another one. But how is it weird? Is there a point at which it starts to seem desperate or weird or undesirable that I keep? And the all I would say, if I was on the receiving end of your many applications, the only thing where it would start to feel really weird and desperate is if you were like applying for stuff and you're like, I could be your private jet pilot. Like, I just really want to work for, I'll be the janitor. Like, it's like, if it's out of the realm of what makes sense, that's just starts to be weird. But if they have 17 positions and you're like, I could literally do all of these, I just would like to work. I don't think so. As long as you keep. If our third interview you got a little more desperate, and the fourth interview you got a little more de like, be weird. But if your whole affect was just like, oh, sounds like a good job, I'm just applying, then it's not weird. Does that make
Awesome. That
sense?
does, yeah.
Now, you might get somebody who thinks it's weird that someone would apply for jobs because of whatever in their back history. You can't control that.
Right.
All you can control is that you're not seeming weird in any weird way, but you're a normal person who likes the company and wants to thing, and you have lots of skills and strengths, so you're good at a lot of things. Okay, then this is really important. So what you wrote is that it's listed as a flexible position with shifts 3 days a week. I'm like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever. But they also mentioned that the job responsibility is that you're expected to respond to customer service messages within 24 hours and also send a daily report to the supervisor. So you're unclear, does this mean that I'm working on days that I don't have a shift? And if so, how do you measure my time and compensation for that? And let's and then you were like, okay, so is this something that I should address in the interview, or do I address all that after I get the job? Like, when do I figure all this stuff out? Because you don't want to put them off of hiring you by asking all these logistical questions. I get that. I get that. But we can't go that way. So this is definitely 1000% something that should be clarified in the first interview for the job. And it is. So, I don't want to raise these questions in the wrong way, is what you wrote. The only way you can do it wrong is with tone. So, if your tone was like, so, like, I don't understand. If it's this, how is it? It's like, because what's happening here in interviews when you ask questions of them and they ask questions of you is they're learning how you communicate. But you're learning how they communicate. So if you ask some clarifying questions and they get their panties all in a bunch, how do you think it's going to be to communicate with them on a daily basis at work when there's a problem with your timesheet or so? That's like, and if you ask something of them, or if they ask something of you and you get defensive or you get really persnickety about it, well, then they are like, well, maybe she doesn't fit the company culture, So it's a great opportunity. And if you were on the other end, I don't know if you've ever been on the reverse end of an interview situation, when someone comes in and they're like, I don't have any questions and I'm just going to answer what you say, you don't actually get to know a lot of about their dynamic. So you need to have, I would write down all, there's probably going to be like maybe 3 to 5 questions like you wrote here. Okay, so you have this, but what about this? And then when you say daily report, what does that mean? And then how are my hours tracked? And you can say up front, I just have a few logistical questions because I want just to make sure that this is the right fit for me. And so I don't want you to waste your time going forward with me. You can say something like that if you feel like it, or if it's just organic. Oh, if they're like, do you have some more questions? You go, actually, I have a few logistical questions. Blah, 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 blah. See what they say. Okay, how does this work? But you don't want to waste your time on the third interview going, oh, you're going to do it like that, and I'm not going to get paid for that. Yeah. And even if you're now being expected to respond, you want to clarify it. So, being expected to respond to customer emails within a 24-hour period, does that mean ASAP when my next shift starts? Because that would probably, if it's every other day versus after hours, like you just want to like clarify.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I think the thing about tone makes a lot of sense. Can I ask you a couple more things have occurred to me sort of about the interview and just the examples you were giving of like language were so helpful. Two other types of questions I am not necessarily like I don't know if I'd say I'm nervous about them, but I don't know. I guess if I were nervous about any questions, it might be these. A type of question that's like, because I did experience both of these things at the interview for the original position. A type of question that's like, okay, how would you respond in this type of situation? You know, for like a specific thing that would happen in the job. I thought I did a pretty good job answering that when it came up for the original position. It probably won't be that much different for this type of thing, but I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about, like, I don't know, tricks for that kind of like job specific question when they come up?
First of all, I love asking those kind of questions in when I'm interviewing people because because it gives me a chance to see how their brain works. The piece of advice I'd give to you is if you need a minute to think about it, take a minute to think about it so that you can collect your thoughts and go, this is how I would handle that. This is what I would do. Because it's as the person trying to pick my employee, I'm not looking in that moment for how fast you think. I'm looking for can you deconstruct a problem, identify the things that are also more important, most important to me, the company, and then come up with a answer to that that is in alignment with what we would hope you would do. But it's much more like, oh, she can think about it and then come up with an answer. So the tip is don't ever feel pressured. Like it's if you don't respond quickly, they're thinking you're incompetent. If you just watch me coach here, sometimes I have to think about something before I'm like, let me, and sometimes when someone asks me a question, like even when someone, you know, turns in questions, it's like, oh, well, now I have four questions for you before I can even come back and answer. And that's also instructive to the person. So let's say I gave you a scenario and you were like, okay, it's hard for me to answer this because if it was this, I'd say this. And if it was this, I'd say this. So you can come back and say, well, are you thinking it's this? And then I think, yeah. Okay. Well, if it's that, then that's what I would do. Like that tells me, oh, she knows how to ask a clarifying question. And the thing about it is, most people who want to hire competent people, not everybody does because they like to stay in power, but the people who want to hire competent people are actually hiring little leaders. I want you. I'm going to give you this. Like, I have an assistant, Kate, and it's like, I want to give Kate stuff and then have her lead that. Like, come back and ask me if I, what do she needs from me. Like, I want her to take care of that and lead that little project or whatever I give her. Even if it's just like, find this thing on the internet. Great. Go lead. So I think a lot of people interviewing, it's like they think people just want good girls, especially women. Oh, you just want a good girl who will do what you want and execute the task. And in fact, a good boss wants a little leader. So bring a little leadership energy to the interview by taking your time, thinking about things, asking clarifying questions, saying, well, this is what I bring, like reshifting the perspective. Like that's leadership energy versus like, oh, I was asked a question I should answer really quick and just, oh, I hope it's right. That's good girl energy. Yeah, which is what we're taught. That's kind of ingrained in us, and we have to shake that shit off as we go through our adult life. And every single interview is an opportunity to shake some more of that off, you know? So this is your chance to practice going in with like, I may or may not be a good fit for this, but I'm what you're getting out of this interview is, wow, do I really like the people who work at this company? Is this a company I should just keep my eye on or not? On my way. Because just because you don't get a job doesn't mean the person who gets it works out, or they may have to leave. Life is fluid. So
No, that's so true. And you know, one of the things I mean, from the interview process for the other position, the people were really great. I really clicked with them. They seemed to really like me. Like they sent me a very nice like thank you to my follow-up email, which is partly why I'm applying for this other position. But yeah, my whole perspective on it going in was like really was like, well, I don't know if I'm gonna get this job, but I know that this company is growing a lot right now. So if I can just show up and be someone that they like, then who knows what could happen in like a month or 6 months or yeah.
Yes.
So
And I
yeah,
think that's,
absolutely.
Allie, that's what I would lead with. Like, if they're like, so why did you, we see you applied before. Why do you want this position? You're like, oh my gosh, I just love the people I interviewed
Yeah.
before. It just seems like a really great company. And when I
Yeah.
saw I could maybe be of service in this way, I have a lot of skills and strengths that fit this position as well. I was like, I've got to apply. Do you see how you just flattered, framed? Yeah, it's just, yeah. And that's,
Yeah.
energy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Oh, I
Okay,
look
I'm
forward
sorry.
to hear
Do you
hearing
I
more
if I
about
have one more
it.
scenario, okay. Sorry if
No,
that's
this is
okay.
good. It's another good like job chunk that we can refer
Yes.
people back to.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, so I don't know if they'll ask me this question again because they asked me it the first time, and I'm 99% sure it will be the same people interviewing me. The first time they asked me, we have a lot of amazing candidates. What is it that sets you apart? I felt like at the interview, that was probably the weakest part of the interview. I felt like I didn't really have a clear, concise answer. What I said was maybe okay, but I don't even really remember exactly what I said. I tried to improve that by thinking about that afterwards. And when I sent my follow-up email, I sort of said, like, I've been thinking about that last question that you had, and here's what I think I bring. And I said, something about my passion, as a director and an actor, I have a lot of passion for what I do and like the mission of this company I really resonate with. And I also said something about my adaptability and kind of my like all in attitude. So that's sort of what I left them with via email, if not in person. But I wonder if, maybe they'll ask me that again for this position. Should I just say something similar to what I said in the email? Should I try to adapt it for this particular role? But yeah, I'm also just curious about your thoughts on this because I feel like this is a really common job interview question that is really hard, I think.
Yeah. I think I still think my go-to is pretty strong. So you can say, so the way I would answer that question is, thinking as I thought back over that, the question you asked when you asked it before, it was definitely like my passion and my things. But really, I think what sets me apart from the other people with of who all we each have a variety of skills and strengths, and you're just trying to find the right match. But I think what sets me apart is the guarantee I can make to you because of the way I do my work and because I like to grow no matter what scenario I'm in. And because of that personal thing I like to bring to my work, I can guarantee that you will be better off for having me, no matter how long you have me, than you were before. You will be better off because I will be better as a person at the end of this. And so your company will be better as a company for having me here. That's how I would say it.
I love that. Yeah,
And the
that's great.
reason I love that, I mean, everyone could say that, but not everybody will. Who's going to say that?
Right. That's it
They'll
takes the
have
guts to
never
say
heard
that.
that. They'll probably, I would say, okay, there's an 80% chance they've never heard someone say that before. And that's all you're going for. You want to be kind of memorable because everyone's passionate and everyone like, I really like, doing good work. And it's just another way to say that. That's just a little more interesting.
Okay, that's amazing. All right, thank you so much. Thank you for spending so much time with me. I
No,
really
these were
appreciate
great, great
it.
things because this will be paid forward to the people listening.
I hope so.
Okay, so the floor is open. Thank you, Allie. Raise your hands if you want to be coached, and that will help me kind of like manage our time. Karen Eileen, what do you got? I was no other submitted questions, so the floor is now open.
Let me close my door. Hold on one second. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. This feels like mindset. I need a little Christine wisdom here. This came up when I was with Miata. I guess it was the management or the Q&A, the last thing she did. I'm feeling so on fire to get some things in my cash flow life handled that what I'm realizing is I'm not enjoying the journey. Like I'm all like, let's go, power through, go, because it feels very mountainous. And it's not sustainable because I'm a little miserable. Even though I can see I'm making progress. So I'm trying to figure out how to calibrate that, basically. Because I could put and you and I talked about this in a previous session, like I'm taking 1 week a month and I'm going to be working just as hard, but I'm working to get myself a W-2 consistent job rather than working for some of the coaching people. But there's not a lot of stuff built in for like huge downtime or rest or play and my creativity. It feels like it's been shrunk down and put on a lovely little windowsill. And so that's not all that's feeling very odd to me and maybe odd and out of alignment.
Okay, so there's a few things here. There are times in our life where it just feels like it's crunchy, where just there isn't a lot of space for creativity and stuff like that. Like, because there's just certain things that either have to be done or goals that have to be met or priorities that have to be put on the front burners. So now, you don't want to live in crunch time. You can't live in crunch time. Crunch times are sprints. Mostly we need to be running marathons.
I see.
But sometimes there's crunchy sprints. So you want to identify, am I in a sprint? Should I be in a sprint right now? Or is this a marathon where I do need to carve out a little bit more time for some creative stuff? But you might be in like a There's different lengths of sprints. You might be in a sprint of crunch where it's just like, okay, I just gotta do this. Where like getting the job is front and center, and your life can be readjusted once that's done. But from then, I'm just using that as an example. I'm not prescribing that. I'm just saying like it might be f until then though. It's crunchier. That's one aspect of this. Another aspect of this is we have to appreciate and take into consideration that each of us is differently wired. And you didn't say this, I'm going off on a tiny tangent. It's
Go, go.
very, very important. Like when you watch YouTube videos or any kind of advice or any kind of guru out there telling you what the way it's like, if you're not wired like that person, it's not going to work for you to exactly follow that. It doesn't matter how great it works for them because of the way they're wired. And a lot of people are telling you, think, well, this is how it worked for me. It's like, great. And if I'm wired like you, it will work for you. And if I'm not, it won't. Now, you might be able to go, I'm going to take that one piece of what they said and apply it. Yeah, that's cool. There's always like general things. But back to the fact that we're all differently wired. And you, from what I know of you, have a big relationship with your emotions.
Yes.
And I'm not saying
No, that's really
that,
nicely put. That's very true. Yeah.
but I'm also not saying it as like, oh my God, you're so emotional. It's not a pejorative. It's just that you respond to emotional things. You like the high highs in life. Like it's just that's what juices you up as the performer that you are, and you're magnificent at what you do. And when that's not in your life, and when it's like all this spreadsheets and numbers and things that are a little more boring, that can feel to you way more intense
Yes,
than
yes.
it might for somebody who's like, oh, I'm super analytical and I live inside my head and I crunch all the numbers and I'm an accountant. I love
Got
it.
it.
I
Yeah,
was
okay.
listening to this woman talk about like, oh, this is how I did my business, and I'm like, and she's an accountant and she coaches other accountants, and I'm like, you are such an accountant. And she described like, I just put it on my calendar and then I just that's my what I do for the day. And I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I could never do that ever. You sound like a robot. And it's
Yeah.
because she is so analytical and not emotional that she just does her to-do list instead of, and she doesn't hit snags where it's like, well, I don't feel like doing that. I hit those snags of like, my creative side wants to do this today, even though I plan to do this today. And there's
Yes.
pros and cons, and sometimes that hurts my business, and sometimes it helps my business. But that is how I'm wired. You are even a degree, a several degrees on the other side of that from me. There's account here. I'm kind of more in the middle between the two of you, but you're way over here where it's like you live and breathe, like emotion is your oxygen, which makes you an amazing performer. You happen to be in a stage of life, though, that is more building the foundation, putting some foundational pieces in place, which
Yes.
isn't lively or sparkly, or
Yes.
there's not, there's very few unicorns and
There are no
rainbows,
unicorns.
and I'm like, so I'm saying this to you because when you're feeling like, sorry, it's not because you're doing it wrong or because you're deficient in your ability to do it.
Okay.
It's because you're wired that that's not your jam. And if you're wired and it's not your jam and you're having to do it, it feels worse than for someone who's like, I just love to do all those things. That is my jam. And it's like she's having a great time.
But is the idea with mindset work here, is the idea to try and find a way to reframe it so it's more my jam, or do I just let it not be my jam and figure out some way to find some joy somewhere else? I mean, it's very important. I have to do the stuff. I have to, I'm choosing to build a foundation, do the things, turn the bus around, all the analogies. But my very dramatic, creative emotional brain is like, well, kind of sucks if I'm going to be super miserable on this whole journey until I get to this place over there. And I know saying that out loud, that's not how it works. And I'm a little stuck in it. And to be fair, this is my part two question. I had a recent life event that was very challenging and difficult. And so in the middle of a crunch time, I've got this layer of like sadness or grief or loss. And I'm like, so the crunch just got worse. The crunch was hard, and now the crunch is horrible. And I don't know what to do about that. Oh, time. People will, distract yourself. Okay, great. But I still need to do these things on a daily or weekly basis. And it just feels horrible. And I just want to lay on the floor and go to sleep, basically.
So there's the variety pack, especially when you're running the marathon. There's the variety pack. You want to be doing some things in your life that's just purely feeding the emotion. I'm going to get back to what your situation is right now,
Yeah,
but
I got you.
purely feeding the emotion, like woo, 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 this is super, super, super fun. Then over here, there's just the stuff that you're just going to have to gently remind yourself, no, I've got to do this. It's awful, and I'm doing it. And you just keep dragging your brain back and soothing your inner child that, no, we're going to do this work. Then in the middle, as much as possible, you want to find, like, can I put some of my jam on top of this stuff to make it a little more palatable? Like, it's not going to be
Slather it
fully
up with the
jam, but I could put a little jam on top, So it's like, how can I make this more fun is the question to ask yourself. Like, could I play music? Could I put on a candle? Can I do this while I watch a show? Like, how can I make this less onerous? Now, when you're grieving, which you are, it adds a layer of ooh on top of the ooh stuff. It's hard. And so the most important thing right now for yourself, aside from trying to sparkle and jam it up, is just to be kind to yourself and acknowledge, like, yeah, this is hard. I'm moving a big old bus here and I just got a flat. So I have to fucking move the bus with the flat. And like, now I'm dragging the bus. Like, it's okay. But you have to keep reminding your inner child and yourself that it's okay. One step at a time, bird by bird, as Anne Lamott says. You just write that report about the birds, bird by bird. And you take one day at a time. And as much as possible, try to find something in your week. Surely there's one night where you can give yourself 2 hours of whatever television you want to watch. Surely there's walks you can take or things you. So telling yourself the story, no, it's a crunch week and I can't do anything until I do this, like that's not going to help because then you'll rebel. Then you'll rebel. And worse, you'll self-sabotage to just bring some emotion back, like some fun emotion back into the situation. You don't want to rebel. You want to give yourself enough so that you're like, okay, I'll do another week to get the treat.
To get the treat. What I'm hearing a lot, and I want some Christine wisdom around this last part, is it's very emotional because some part of my brain says, if I suck it up for the short-term crunchiness, I'll get to a place that feels better quicker.
Yeah, because what you originally came in is like, I just want to go full bore.
Because I want to feel better because I'm not great yet at tolerating
Yeah.
sitting with this level of crunch.
And this is what this is really about for you. This is the time where you get a bigger muscle around sitting in it.
Oh my God, it's horrible.
Because some of what you did in the past that got you into these circumstances currently was an avoidance to avoid sitting in it. And sometimes, this is just a story I like to tell, but sometimes the universe is like, I hear what you want. I hear what you want. And if you want it, you're going to need these muscles too. You already have those muscles. So we're trying to get you there as fast. You said you wanted as fast as possible. Then we have, if you want, everyone, listen to this. If you want growth as fast as possible, because to get to a goal or a dream or achievement, it takes you growing, lots of things, muscles being one. But if you want that accelerated, then you're given more intense situations in which to grow the muscles.
Yes,
You
that
said
I
you
needed
wanted this
to be.
fast, so here you go.
No, that's I, and that's why I wanted to bring it here because I knew inside my own head I couldn't find the sort of the logic or the emotional logic, and that's just, I mean, it's so simple. It's like I asked for it. I asked for it. I have to put that up on a post-it because I forget when I'm in the middle of like some avalanche of challengingness. I asked for the fast track.
Yeah, as did I. And boy, was that a wow. Don't ask for that.
Maybe I
Now,
don't
I
want to
want
ask for that anymore. I don't know. I want to
to.
think
No,
about
no, no.
that.
But I do want to say for everybody listening, I am not saying, oh, that bad thing happened so you can grow. But
I
I'm
don't know
so
what
super
that voice
happy.
is, but
Like,
she needs to be reading an audiobook and doing an animation immediately. Yeah.
it's not that, oh, I'm so glad my sister died because it taught me all these things. It's like, no, that happened. And it did teach me a lot in a very accelerated way. And that's what I got out of it. But that's not like why it happened, because that's so reductive. The world's random. Things happen randomly. We have to tell ourselves some sort of story that keeps us getting out of bed.
Yes.
You know? So,
Yes.
and the best story is the universe has our back. So we don't feel so
That's a
alone.
it is a very good story, that
It's a
one. Yes.
great story, but then it makes you go, okay, if I'm believing the universe has my back, how does the universe have my back right now? And
Yeah.
for me, my interpretation of like all this, because it's not just the feline, it's other people in your life. There's a lot of heavy things happening, and you're trying to make this big shift, and you're learning things that you haven't learned before. It's like
Yeah.
you're in an intense period of your life.
Yeah, guess
So
I
how does
am.
the universe have your back? It's like, well, we heard you, and you wanted growth, and you wanted your to be back in LA, and you wanted this trajectory, and you said as fast as possible.
Yeah, I did.
And here you go. We are making you so fucking strong so that you'll never be here again. Because the worst thing about life is going, oh, look, I'm just repeating it. I went to
I
my
mean,
life
that's
coach at the end of my 20s and I said to her, I don't want my 30s to be a repeat of my 20s. So I have
wow.
to work some shit out. I don't wanna, I feel like I'm banging my head against the wall and I could do that for the rest of another decade. And that's what
Yeah.
you're doing right now. You've said, okay, so I did this part of my life, and I don't want the next part of my life to look like that again. And it's like, okay, well, that requires growth. And here we go, Karen Eileen. And here you are. And as long as you don't flinch, you have a pot, as long as you sit in it and do the work, then you have a possibility of realizing some of the things you want.
I just, it just, can I just say, it just helps me to say, it just sucks, man. Just.
It sucks, but I would like you to picture your spirit guides up there going, oh my God, she's doing it. Like, we're so proud of her. Like, look at her. This challenge. Oh, let's give her this one too. Oh my God, she did. Okay. So let's see how she's going to handle it. Like, they're so proud of you and so excited because you keep showing up day after day and your fabulous emotional self is like having to learn how to be contained within these circumstances.
I hilarious thought that I can share here safely. I had a moment last week where I just really miss the old version of me who was completely in denial about her money and her cash flow and was just creating, just out in the world creating. And there was a lot of joy while I was in huge denial about everything else. I miss her because I miss the joy. And my inner mean girl is like, yeah, that's done. You'll never get back there. But that has to be wrong, Christine Aller. It has to be
Well,
wrong.
you will get back to it, but you'll never not know. You'll never be that ignorant or
Right.
in ignorant denial, like
Right.
denying the
No, the
world.
denial part, I mean, it wasn't,
Yeah.
Eventually, it's like the world collapsed, when I couldn't, go anymore. But before that, it was like, this is awesome. And I'm so happy to be living my dream. And meanwhile, the bridge was crumbling and the dam was breaking. And I'm like, I'm going to ignore that. And I'm creating. So I want that joy with a rock ass solid foundation. And maybe I need to write that down because we talk about like, what's my why? I don't think my why is connected enough to what I want in my life. Like, I want my debt gone. I want blah, blah, blah. But that all feels very unjoyful and sparkly and unicorny. So I need maybe like a broader, big light bulb moment right now. Okay.
So it's sort of like you're given this choice of like you had this many years of living life at a 10, the
Yeah.
joy and excitement of a 10.
Yep.
And the universe is like, but how would you like 25 years at a 7.5?
Oh.
And sometimes you'll get eights, nines, and tens,
Yeah.
but it'll average out to about a 7.5, which is
Yeah.
pretty fucking good for living on Earth, by the way.
Yeah.
7.5
Yeah.
life
Yeah.
of joy. Yeah, it's pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you, because that's sustainable.
Correct.
Living at a 10, not sustainable.
Oof. Okay. That's
And
so
that's
helpful.
hard. That's a hard thing to swallow when you're
Yes.
wired in the emotional way that you're like, but I love
But I
10.
like the 10. The 10 is nicer. Yeah.
So that's just, but we all have things that are tougher for us because of the way we're wired than they are for other people. I was like a B plus when I was acting. I was about a B plus actor. I could hit A minus. But it because I didn't have emotional integration and I didn't have emotional accessibility. I was a good technical actor. That's why I was good in commercials. Like, tell me 100 things to do in a row. I can totally do it. But you want me to be vulnerable? What? No, I don't do that. And working on a project right now and people are, helping me and the feedback I'm getting. It's like, no. You've got to open a vein and let some blood drip out. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't actually like doing that at all. So, but that's super easy for you. Like that is like not a problem. So we all are wired, and that and the reason why we're not all great at everything and the world doesn't fit us is because then we wouldn't need each other. And that's what knits us together, is you come here and get some guidance here, and I go there and get some guidance there, and that just the joy in life is often from the help we get from others because we can't do it all ourselves,
My heart
So
just feels
this is
softer.
part of the joy. This is part of the joy that you have this community in your life.
Yes, so much so. Yeah.
Thank you, Karen Eileen. That was lovely.
Yes, that was
That was
thanks
good. I'm
to
sure everyone thought that was a big waste of
you.
time.
Yeah. Everybody, thank you.
I say that, I kid because I love and I know you. Okay.
I know all about that. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Taryn.
Hi. So,
Hi.
my situation is kind of a mixture of actually the two beginning situations you addressed because I, as you know, in maybe two cash flows ago, I'm looking was looking for a full-time job, but I realized in one of my side gigs, which is teaching portrait drawing, that I love teaching. And the full-time jobs that I was looking for, because I have experience in it, is social media and marketing. And I just realized that that drains me in a way where I have self-sabotaged myself in my past social media job because I hated it so much. Even though I'm good at it, I hated it so much that like I just created an emotional situation for myself where I had to get out. And so I'm wondering if I should go down looking into the teaching route, which I have not seriously looked into because I just started doing this as a side job at one of my local libraries. But I can totally see in front of my eyes the trajectory of being a teaching artist. I know where I would need to ask all the communities, all the social, the even senior homes. Like, I'm not picky. I just want to teach portrait art. So now I have this cash flow idea that has just burgeoned in front of me within the past week, and I wanted to bring it to you because you've been so helpful in like just helping me to just navigate this new like empowered way of coming into like the art your artistic business. So this is technically like an independent business. This would be a totally different trajectory than looking for a full-time, employee job. And so I'm wondering, I wanted to get a reality check from you. Is this realistic, or should I keep trying to look for that full-time job in the marketing like arena? Because it does pay well if I can get a job, but I really do see a real pathway in this teaching arena that I had not even thought of before until I started this side gig, and I love it.
What a great discovery. Like, what a great discovery to find out about yourself of like, oh my God, like I love teaching. 'Cause that's a huge skill that can be applied in different ways. So this is very
Yeah.
exciting.
And people have told me my whole life that you should be a teacher, you should be a teacher. And when I was in doing my MA, they said you should be a professor. And I'm like, I don't want to go to a PhD. So yeah, I'm wondering, like, I love that one exercise that I don't know if it was you or Miata did, where people gave like suggestions on like next steps. But because I'm just so willing to go down this road, if anybody has any suggestions for me, I would love to hear just like anything. Like someone's mom came up to me after the class and asked, do you do classes elsewhere? So I'm wondering, should I start a newsletter? I'm wondering, should I set up like a page on my existing artist website that says like, if you're interested in portrait workshops, like you can email me here, like starting that newsletter. Because yeah, people are asking me, like not a lot because I only did three classes so far, but people are asking me, oh, do you teach elsewhere? So should I start like a, yeah, what, sh where should I start with this? Because like people are trying to reach out to me, and I'm just like, I'm flattered, but I'm like overwhelmed with the amount of options.
Yes. Okay. Ooh, low lighting. So please, everybody in the chat, you feel free to like type away suggestions. So first of all, it is always an interesting sign. It doesn't always mean you should run in that direction, but it's always a good sign when you do something and then people are like inquiring about it. Like, oh, do you do this or can you do that? Like, that's a good sign. So it's like a little sign from the universe of like, yes, you're on the right track, Taryn. You're on the right track. Okay. Yes, you should add a page to your website that's like, I teach these classes. Decide, you can say we can talk about depending on, I can teach them in group settings. I could do privates. I could do whatever you want. You don't have to put prices there. You can just say, I'll work within your budget and see blah, blah, blah. But just a place you can send people. And then I think it might be good for you to do two things at once, two parallel employment tracks. Now that you have this phrase, teaching artist, that is a great phrase to start Googling around on. And you want to see where in the world is there money available to hire you? Because it's not just the university system, there's a lot of different
Yeah,
places that you
libraries,
might hire
meeting
teaching
places.
artists. But you want to look at, like, a cruise ship might hire.
I actually went down that deep dive just yesterday, which is so crazy you said that.
So you want to think who has money that would want to add me as a benefit, as a, as an entertainment, as a stimulation for retirement communities, like who has money? And the boomer generation, wherever they are, they've got money. And then there might be other things. I know that the two tracks, one is let's see where you can get hired in other people's organizations. And then the second one is you finding the work yourself.
Yeah, like I can e I was I've even imagined like, oh, on Instagram saying like, oh, $8 for an hour class, and then that could be its thing, meeting up either online or like in person, because people have asked me if I will just do like classes like at a park or something. So yeah, I see the parallel lines of like the employment with organizations and then employment just like on my own. And I can definitely see myself doing both because I have no qualms about like just going in person to a place and like with my web like website or something or resume and just saying like, this is what I can do if you need me. Call me if you need me. But I also like, yeah, I could definitely see with my social media background how like, oh, cultivating like a page would be useful. Like I even have ideas about, oh, I would do a couple's portrait thing because like it's very intimate. Or I could do like, yeah, just like meet new friends, you know, like a friendly face class. So like I already have in my mind like my own
So
system, but then
good.
thanks.
Oh
But then, like,
my
I'm thinking about the logistics of like, okay, if I were to do something in person, I would have to find a place. And yes, I can start out in like parks where it's free. But like, yeah, just like trying to navigate, like, okay, do not spend money if you don't need to, you know, kind of thing. Cause that is a trap that I feel like I could definitely go down in terms of like, oh, it would be great to have this and it would be great to have that. And also, like, how am I going to take money from people? Like, are they just gonna Zelle me or Venmo me? Or like,
Hell
should I
yeah.
set up a checking account?
Sell's the
Because,
best. Sell,
like,
sell.
should
Sell
I,
Venmo, whatever.
okay, should I set up a checking account then for my like art business? Because so far, like all my side art gigs that I do across art history and whatever, I've just been sending it to my regular checking account. And yeah, it's fine because I don't have that many right now. But if I'm seriously going down this road and I'm going to be taking potentially like 10 payments in one day from different people, I can't keep track of that as easily all in one checking account. So should I open a checking account at this point?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because
It'll
I
be
know
just so
how
much
much.
easier. The
Okay.
IRS wants you to separate all your money anyway.
Okay. And
You
you
just
mentioned before that,
before
like, I
that,
don't
like
have to
I
set up a business like LLC because you
nope.
years were
Nope.
fine. So
Not
I'm not going
yet.
to do
Not
that. But is there any other places that I should really be looking into to either utilize like a like first I'll start with the
Yes.
website and I'll think about maybe doing a newsletter because there I know there are free options. But then as for like the financial side of it, yeah, like the checking account, is there anything else that I should be like looking out for that I just don't know because I've never started a real business?
Yeah. You just name them a website
Yeah, I
and a
have
checking.
the webs. Okay, so I need to think about making its own website, not just a web page that I have on
No,
my
you
existing
can put no. It's
Oh, okay.
absolutely fine to have it just a page on your website. You need a web
Okay.
presence and a checking account
Okay.
and then a way for people to pay you and you
That
can
could be
set
through
up.
Zelle, right? Like, does
Yeah,
every.
Zelle's great because there's no
Okay.
they don't know charges that are taken out.
Perfect. Because I don't trust Venmo or
Yeah.
PayPal. Like, I don't trust those any other. So as
And
long as
that's
like that's not a barrier to like any credit card, you know, company that like is really popular, then I'll definitely go down that route.
see if it becomes a problem. If only offering Zelle becomes a problem, okay, then solve that problem. And maybe you do Stripe or maybe you do something else. But until it's a problem, that's how you keep your overhead low. Until it's a problem, you don't have to deal with it.
I love that. I'm writing that in bold
Wait for
letters.
it to just be a
Don't, yeah,
problem.
wait until it's a problem.
Yeah. Or wait till you can't handle something anymore. I did my own scheduling of clients until I. It was like, oh, if I offloaded that, that would be better. And then I offloaded it to a person. And then eventually I offloaded it to software. So it's like, but I don't make the move until it's a problem that needs to be solved.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Instead of like, I can think of like 18 different problems and I should solve them all before I even start.
Yeah.
No. Because you may never have to solve them. They may never be a problem.
Okay. Do you recommend then me creating like a separate email just so it's not in the mix with all my other just like logistical emails and stuff? Like, do you have
If
your own
that's
business
easier for
email?
you, I have one email.
Yes, probably. Oh, you have only one email for
One
everything?
email. Yeah, my assistant has an email and I have an email. Because for me, just for me, again, remember guys, it works if you're wired like me. This will work for you. If you're not and it doesn't work for you, that's fine. It doesn't mean you're anything. I don't have all the answers. I have the answers for what works for me. And for me, it's better if just everything comes into one address. So that way I know I'm not like missing anything or having to check two things. That's why I don't text with any of my clients. I do not communicate by text because I don't want to have to, I will forget to look at the text and then I'm like emailing text, I one place email.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because it's
And
a bit
some people don't
energy.
like it, but it's like, I'm sorry, that's how I work. I'll go find another client. Like,
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. I love that idea, just keeping it all streamlined, because I did deal with an issue where I was texting a of someone I was working with, and it just got out of hand. I was just like, you have like let's just move this to email, because then other people involved get out of touch, and then it's just an issue. So, okay, I'll keep everything to email only.
I want you to keep asking yourself,
Yeah.
what do I want? How would this be easier for me? Because if it's not easy for you, then it's just going to be unfun.
Got it. I
How does
do
it,
love
how will it
the
work?
email idea, but you're right. For me, I do separate my emails. I have a like academic email where I only, do the academic things. I have like a regular email, and then like, yeah, I would really prefer having like an art scheduling email, because just so many things get like
Yeah.
funneled into those different emails.
And if I had like a job that was sending a lot of communication, I might want that separate too. My life is very, and if I was an actor, I'd be on my phone a lot more just because, auditions and things and things. I just have a life where I can get away with not doing business over text. But I'm sure if I had agents, they'd be texting me, all their stuff.
Yeah, you're right. I do have a pretty fragmented life right now, but I want to eventually just have one email, one thing to worry about in my life. So yeah,
And that's
things.
the other thing for everybody listening. You might have like a system that works for a while and then your life changes. That's great. Just recalibrate, make adjustments. How does it work for me now? This works better now. I go through those periods too where I just adjust things. So let me give you a few ideas. I know, are you in LA, Karen?
Yes.
Okay. But even if you weren't, this is still the same thing. So there, but I want you to research on Google. There was an article in the Los Angeles Times sometime in 2023, I think in the fall, where it was they were profiling. I think there were two different articles. One, they were profiling this organization that people were paying memberships to like meet new friends in LA. They were like, it's so hard to meet people. Well, this company is funded and
Oh,
they,
yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, there's a lot of
okay.
different companies.
Right. So something like the friendly face portraiture thing might be something they would pay for. Then there was a whole other article about all of these people who were coaches to help people learn how to date and meet friends. But like dating coaches, if they have a community, they might want to do this. So look at the stuff that's in LA. Because it's getting bigger and bigger now for people. People want to meet in person. People want to see each other.
Yeah, so those meetup places.
Yes. What I would like you to do immediately, I don't think you necessarily need to have a newsletter in the formal sense of thing. I would have a way to collect people's emails for sure.
Okay.
So, but you can just say opt into my list so you can find out when I'm doing stuff when I have, private
Yeah,
sessions.
that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad you brought that up because it reminds me that on Airbnb, they also have like events that you can list. I don't know if you have to pay to put your event on there, but if not, like I think that would be a great avenue to
Yes,
explore.
absolutely. And the thing I want you to do, like within the next 3 days, do it more than once.
Do what more than once?
I want you to do this. I'm going to explain it.
Okay.
But I don't just want you to do it once. You need between now, you need in the next like 12 days, do it like 3 times.
Okay.
Post on Instagram and email everybody you know, everybody you feel comfortable letting know, and saying that if someone wants a really great Valentine's Day experience, they should hire you for a couple's portrait private.
Oh my gosh, that is giving me such a good like short-term goal because yeah, it's coming right around the corner. I don't know how I would do an like individual portraiture thing, but I would definitely want to do like a group one because so it's not so like so I could have multiple couples all at once. Or do you
Oh, that's great. No, that's
were you
great. That's
mentioning
great.
like a one-on-one thing? Because
No, I
okay.
didn't know you did it. So like you could do a whole group and our couples painting each what how does it work?
Yeah, they would be drawing each other.
Each other. Oh my God, so
So
great.
the first
So
20
great.
minutes of my class is usually like an overview of just general like strategies of how to draw a face, and then I give 20 minutes to each person to draw the face, so that's an hour, and that's
Yeah.
it.
And then you need to add on, okay, the hour is the class. Like
Yeah.
that's the thing. Then there's a half hour because everybody in the room needs to be like showing the portraits and
Yeah, you're right. I
everyone
have
will want to
everybody usually
see.
show like a show and
Yeah.
tell.
And then you want to add another half hour before the doors close. Because people will probably want to talk and mingle and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, a 2-hour
Maybe you have
class is
cookies.
perfect.
Yeah, 2 hours. Perfect. And what's the maximum? Because you're providing, right? The
The
whatever they're
material is
all the
just
material.
pencils, erasers, and paper.
Okay,
It's
great.
simple. Like it could even be
Great.
computer paper.
And how many couples could you handle?
So in the
As a teacher
library,
and
the maximum
in
is
space.
16. So I can handle 16 because I've handled it before.
That's 8 couples.
8 couples, yeah.
Okay. So that's what you're doing. You're doing this thing. You have to find the space. And you're doing this thing. 8 couples maximum. How much does each couple pay?
Each couple, I think 40. Would that be too high, you think?
Oh
40 per
no.
couple or 40 per
Can
person?
everybody put in? I don't usually look at the chat because I can't focus on two things at once, but could everybody please put in the chat what they think should be the price for a couple for something like this?
A hundred?
Yeah. That's what I said too. I wrote that down too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Then
then
I definitely want it to be. I would definitely bring like nice drawing paper and like
no.
no,
Sure.
not
But
just
you don't.
computer
Okay.
paper.
Oh, I'm so glad that Kate. Yeah. I wrote down at least. Oh, look at the 1/1/14 for Valentine's Day. That's cute.
Oh.
Karen Eileen. But 80. If you can't stomach $100 right now, which is totally
Just
fine,
because I've never done it before.
I will allow you to do this first one for 80.
Okay.
Okay.
But I like the 114 idea. I might do it because like, yeah, I don't know. It just really resonated with me.
Okay. So, and I'm so glad you said, oh, that means I have to do the nice paper. It's like, it's not about that. This is about couples who've probably been together a while and are like, what can we do for this fun for Valentine's Day? And this is like, if they were going to go out to eat, especially on Valentine's Day, it's $80. So it's an experience, and it's because it's on a holiday, it's a thing. And so the $80, you have to look at it in context with the whole thing. And it is very, very often when people are like, oh, but I'm asking for something that feels like so much money to me, so I need to do extra. I need to like wow them and have the thing. And then it's like, no, you don't have to work harder for more money. This is a really important point for everybody. If you go through life with a kind of tit for tat thinking about earning, where if I want to earn this much money, then I have to like put this much work into it, then you never get to experience exponential income, which is where wealth comes from. People who are wealthy are not working harder. It's even arguable that some of them are working smarter, but they allow themselves to receive income that's exponential to the amount of effort they're giving. When the cast of the TV show Friends were getting $1 million an episode, they weren't acting harder. They were acting the same amount of effort, probably less because they'd been at it for a while. It was their job was easier and they were getting paid more because they were just getting a piece of the whole pie. That show was making so much money that it made sense for the cast to get that much money just when you looked at the pie. So your pie is Valentine's Day. The value is they get to go with someone fun who's going to create a lovely, warm, welcoming space for them to have a good time. They're going to leave having a good time with other people, including themselves. It's like, that's the value they're getting, not how great the paper quality is.
You're right. I
Yeah.
love that. I needed that. I always
Yeah.
think that I have to do more. And I really
Right.
liked your idea of the mingled time because I didn't account for that. Because usually in the library, it's just like I have to do it and go. But what were you thinking in terms of the mingled time? Like you mentioned cookies. Like, should I just get like a pack of, like cookies from Ralph's or like a LaCroix, a box of LaCroix? Like, what kind
Well,
of value?
it's LA, so everybody will have their water bottles, so you don't have to worry about beverage. And if it's in a library, you want to like make sure you can even have something to eat. I don't even think you should worry about that so much. If you want to get a big glass, not a huge glass bowl, but get a pretty glass bowl and fill it with Hershey's Kisses, all of Valentine's Day Hershey's Kisses. And that'll be enough for people to like have a hit of chocolate while they,
Oh, I know how to do this really cheap hack where I use wire and like pink Saran wrap, where you put two Hershey kisses together, their butts together, and then it looks like a rose. So, or is that working too hard? Because it's cheap, but
That's
it takes
working too
time.
hard. Yep,
Okay.
you just need to throw those kisses in a bowl and have the bowl accept. Most people are going to be there to talk and to paint, and then they're going to probably eat dinner afterwards or go to
You're
In-N-Out or
right.
whatever. Yeah, so this is about the atmosphere.
Oh,
And I
God.
think,
Now I need to find a place, though, because the library, I haven't talked to them about having people pay for classes. So now I need to find a venue for sure.
And get creative and ask everybody you know. There's got to be some little place, a back room of a restaurant, an area of a coffee shop,
You're
something.
right. I'm so glad you said that. There's a tea place I frequent, and they host like different artistic things like this, like a dried flower workshop. So yeah,
Yeah.
I can definitely reach out
Okay.
to them.
Great. So yeah, and you need to have a page on your website that talks about this email where they can hit the button and pay you and
Oh
reserve
gosh, but
their.
with the payment, like if it's through Zelle, do I just put my phone number? It looks kind of sketch like that, Or is that okay?
Then what you can do is you say, if you want to do this, just send me an email and I'll arrange payment with you over Zelle. And then in the email, you can say, here's my number. This is what you do.
Yeah, that seems less sketchy. Like if they have
Yeah,
to email
don't
me
post, and you
first.
shouldn't ever post your cell phone number on your website anyway. And I think you can hook up Zelle to an email address. We use our email address versus a
Oh yeah,
phone
you're
number.
right.
I would do
I can.
that.
Yeah, I do have that. I forgot because I usually just tell people, yeah, like my friends, like just use my, phone number. You have it. But yeah, you're right. I can just say the email and that
Yeah.
works fine.
Because you technically want the money to go to your new bank account. Right now, for this one, because it's coming up in just 10 days, just send it to your regular bank account. Don't worry
Yeah,
about
and
that.
then I'll send it later. Like I'll
Yeah.
just move the money later.
Yep. Do it. Do it. Do it.
I can't not do it now. Like you gave
I
me
know,
everything
right?
I need
It's
to
such a good
do.
idea.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
That's very exciting. And it's the reason also too why I'm not gonna find look for a full-time job is not only because of this, but just on Wednesday, this past Wednesday, like a past coworker of mine started like a fashion brand and she wanted me to do freelance social media work. And I can suck up my hate for social media if it's for someone I know and like. So that's why also I'm like that pressure to have income is immediately off my back. Not that it's like will sustain
No, I
me fully
understand.
like full time, but I don't have to pay rent right now. I'm going to be house sitting for another next 3 months. So it just makes sense. Like I have this ability to risk like starting a business that I didn't have when I first talked to you. So I just want to say thank you so much because today too is Chinese New Year's and like money and the red envelopes is involved and I just didn't go. And I don't feel so guilty about it after talking with
That's huge for you. Oh my gosh, congratulations. That's big. That's
Thanks.
big. That's big. Yeah. You sound very different today. It's lovely. So over the next 3 months, while you're house sitting and you're doing your part-time job with your friend, 20 hours a week is devoted to just researching and outreach on who wants to hire me to do this kind of thing.
Got it. 20 hours per week on outreach and what? And research?
Research.
Got
Yep.
it.
Who should I be reaching out to and pitching myself? And then, you can throw up these private things. A St. Patrick's Day make a new friend portrait workshop.
Yeah.
And one of the things that might be nice, like when you have the couples on Valentine's Day, okay, so after the whole drawing part is done, you can, have the couples look at their own work. I mean, the one the person drew of the other person, and then have each person go what they like most about what the other person did. Like, oh, they really captured my eyes, or I thought it was going to be worse than it is. Like, and then everybody can see, then everybody will be able to see everybody else's work and blah, blah, blah.
I
But that's a
love
nice
that.
question to ask them. Like, what do you love most about what your partner just attempted to do?
I love that. Thank you so much for that
Yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
Just so I really got down your steps that I need to take, I have it all listed out. The couple things is to immediately post on Instagram and then immediately email everybody I know. And then also,
No. First, you
oh.
have to pick the venue. You have
Okay.
to find and lock in your venue. So,
Yes.
because when you tell people I'm doing this, you also need to tell them kind of where so they could go, oh, I could do
Yeah.
it. Oh, it's in the valley. I can't. Like,
Okay.
yeah. Lock down your stuff and then make the announcement.
Got it. Okay, lockdown venue and then tell people and then oh wait, no, I have to lock down venue and then number two would actually be not telling people but would be making the website page.
Yep.
And
So you're
then
very
it would
clear.
be telling
Yeah.
people.
Yeah. So the website says we're doing it from this time to this time. This is the place. This is how much it costs. It's, reserve your seat,
Yeah.
pay in full, no cancellations because this is so quick. Funds.
Oh my God, this is so exciting.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right. Oh, I'm so, hi, Anise. I see your hand. I'm so sorry. We are done. And I actually do have to go tonight, so I can't even go over. But bring your questions back. And if you have burning questions, sending them to me in advance always gets you up at the top of the queue. And it just, the reason I ask for questions in advance is because it really does allow me to kind of structure the time. And yeah, because sometimes I don't know like how in depth, but I went deeply with Taryn because I think that really there was a lot of things that were applicable to everybody. So I hope everybody got stuff out of it anyway. And you can unmute to say goodbye. We're all so quiet, but thank you
Thank you
for
so
thank you,
much,
Christine.
Christine. Thanks,
Everybody.
everybody.
Bye.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
Bye.
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 Bye, Anise. I'll talk to you later. Okay.